Welcome to episode 467 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agent Donna, and we are also welcoming back our international agent Brooke. Yay!
Yay!
Thanks, Brooke.
Hello!
Nuremberg is located in the heart of Bavaria, Germany, and also happens to be the home base for Brooke and her family. It is known for its blend of old world charm and being a modern, vibrant city. And this week, Brooke is here to tell us all about her adopted hometown and why we should visit. So let's get started. So I guess we should ask you why you're there. What brought you to Nuremberg?
Good question.
Yeah. I get that question a lot. Like, why are you in Germany? We were living in New York City previous to this, and we kind of decided that we wanted to move, but we weren't sure where or when or what it would look like. And we just kind of kept kept things open, and maybe we'd end up staying in New York. Maybe we'd move to New Jersey, or not this huge leap. But at one point, my husband was looking at open positions with his company, and he saw one in Germany, and we had visited Germany. And she's still a very close friend, but we had a close friend that lived here. And he thought, I'm going to apply. You know, the worst that could happen is they say no, we'll see what happens. And they immediately wanted him. And it was like just open doors all the way. And by the time we all ended up moving, it was November 2020. So it was like, peak Corona time. So that was interesting, moving abroad when the borders were actually technically closed to Americans in Germany. That was a whole experience. So basically we just decided like, we're going to try this and see what happens. And the worst that would happen is that we hate it and we turn around and we move back to the US. But the opportunity was there. So we thought we're going to go for it. With my husband's position, it's completely remote. And so we could be anywhere in Bavaria, basically. And we almost moved to Munich, but they didn't. We wanted to have an English-speaking school for our son. And so Munich schools were full. All the English schools were full. And so we kind of went north. And we found Nuremberg, which we had been to before. My good friend lives in Nuremberg. And there's an international school nearby, not in Nuremberg, but in a town nearby. And they had open space and it was cheaper. So there's a lot of like pros about it. And we're like, we like Nuremberg. Let's do it. And so that's how we ended up in Nuremberg.
I love that. And now it's like almost 3 years, right? So
yes, which is crazy. Yeah. I was like, 2 years. My husband's like, no, it's almost three now. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's cool.
First
I think
that's because we kind of lost a year in there.
We did. Yeah. I love it though, because I think it's such a good experience for your son and well for you guys too, but I think it's just so cool for your son.
You know? It has taught us all so much. Like just as humans. Yeah. I mean, not only have we like learned a lot of the German language, shouldn't say a lot. My German's not that great, but learned some German language. We're just experiencing life in another country.
Something totally different. So talk about Nuremberg. I don't know that much about it. I've heard of the Nuremberg trials, but I don't really know that much. So
it's an awesome town. Like it is. Yeah. I was nuervous because we lived in New York City and Nuremberg's not that big. But then when you add in the surrounding cities and the surrounding towns around it, it is close to 1 million people, I would say. So it's a decent sized city. There's a lot to offer. It has an incredible history. Like you said, the Nuremberg trials, it was actually Hitler's favorite city. So it was bombed very, very heavily. He called it like the most German city of all Germany or something like that. So So it has a lot of like dark history, but it was also bombed very heavily in World War II. But the city chose to rebuild in a lot of the city in the traditional way. So when you walk through, it's super duper charming. It looks like it's medieval. It looks, it's a lot of it's rebuilt. Some of it is still original, but a lot is rebuilt. And it's just, it has all the good architecture, very Bavarian, but then it also has a lot of modern things to it. And it has like, I know we're going to mention this, but like tons of festivals. There's always something going on here and it's well known for its Christmas market and all that. So, it's very popular for World War II history buffs because of the rally, the Nazi party rally grounds are here. Mm-hmm. Those are very eerie to see. And then there's like a very famous hotel that Hitler would stay in. And then the Nuremberg trials were also held at our courthouse.
So it sounds like they are very, like, they keep their history up front and they're very good about, like, learning from their history. Would you say that?
Very, yes, 100%. You will see monuments all over that are talk about, you know, the history and the mistakes that the Germany made and never wanting to repeat history. They're very, very, like, I can't remember who I was recently telling this to, but, you know, stuff still happens here, racism and things, but it was like on the front cover of our newspaper. This was a couple years ago, but a couple were, it was on the front. This was the front page, like a front cover news story. This couple was eating ice cream in the middle of the city in Nuremberg, and they're a black couple. And someone like did a racial slur to them, and they're actually German. They told them to go back to their country, and they're Germans. They're born in Germany, raised in Germany. They're German. Right. And it was like a huge news story because like you shouldn't treat people this way based on their skin color. You should. So it was like they really like are very accepting of people and or, you know, there's still problems. There really is. Mm-hmm. But they really try to like learn from their history and not repeat it and accept all people, no matter what religion, no matter what race, no matter what. Yeah. Which is amazing.
It's awesome. What was interesting, they gave us a little factoid as we were going through Passau, and they said that they really don't fly German flags.
Yeah.
Like we fly the United States flag, you know, for major holidays, but you'll see them out everywhere sometimes year round. Mm-hmm. Germans don't do that except one day a year, and that's on Reunification Day is the day that they bring out their German flags. But they really want us to really squash that nationalism image. And so it was very interesting little factoid for me.
And the only other time you see German flags is if they're in the World Cup, then you see.
That would make sense too.
The one other time. I remember that very vividly, like our second year here, I was walking through town. I'm like, why are there so many flags out? Cause it's exactly right. There's never flags. You very, it's a government building. If there's a flag, that's the only time you see one. Yeah. And I was like, oh, World Cup.
And they're usually small and inconspicuous. And
Yep. And that's, they don't want that national pride like they once, you know, they once had because it got them in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of cool. Well, So there's a castle there, right?
There is.
Has that been rebuilt or was that spared or do you know?
I don't know offhand. I think it was spare. I'm sure parts of it were rebuilt. Mm-hmm. And I've done the tour, but it was so long ago. It was before we lived here that I don't remember exactly. But we used to live like a 10-minute walking distance from the castle. So we would take our dog down into the moat and because there's actual moat. Uh-huh. Yeah. It's just it's a dry moat, but you can walk around in there and be next to the castle walls. And it's an incredible area and you can go up into it and overlook the city and, yeah, it's beautiful.
That's cool. Is it medieval? Like is it really old? Super old?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They have speaking of festivals and all that I mentioned, they have another festival too. And I don't want to know if this one's on our list, but they have a festival in the moat and it's like a beer festival and there's all like medieval games and that kind of thing going on in there too. It's really fun.
Oh, that's cool. Is that around like Oktoberfest-ish time or do they just have beer festivals all the time?
All the time. It's more in the summer.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
As we're recording this, Oktoberfest is about to start, but this will air much later, but that's cool.
There's in the castle here, there's a youth hostel. A lot of families stay there too, but there's a hostel inside the castle and you can't walk on our castle walls. It is walkable, but it's closed off to people. And there's a little tiny section that you can go up into, but that's about it. But you can stay technically inside the castle if you stay in that hostel.
Oh, that's cool.
It's kind of cool. Yeah.
That's really cool. So let's talk about some festivals, because I mean, I was going through, I know when I was writing these show notes, I was telling you, I'm like, what about this festival, this music festival? This good. Yeah. But I guess the most famous one is your Christmas market.
Yeah.
Festival.
Definitely.
Kind of. Yeah. So is it one of the bigger ones in Europe, or is it like worth taking the trip just for that?
If I'm correct, I think it's one of the biggest in Germany. Mm-hmm. I don't know about Europe, but it is huge. Like the first 2 years we were here, they were sadly canceled. So we didn't get the very first year. There were like maybe 5 or 6 booths spread out. You know, wow. You got a little bit of the food, but none of the shows, nothing exciting. Mm-hmm. And then 2 years ago, all the booths were up in the main square. And then 2 days before they were supposed to be open, they closed everything. It was so devastating.
Yeah.
So devastating. They had a few booths open, you know, kind of spread out. You could eat some of the food and that kind of thing, but nothing as spectacular than last year. Everything was open. And we went down there for lunch. We were like drinking blue wine in the middle of the afternoon. Spent so much money on food.
Make up for lost time.
Some of the other Christmas markets throughout Europe are themed. Is Nuremberg actually have a theme to it?
It does not. It's like more your traditional German Christmas market. So it's got all the booths and that kind of thing, but there's no like, I know the one in the town right next to Nuremberg, it's called Furt, the name of the town. It's F-U with an umlaut, T-H, or I'm sorry, F-U-R-T-H, like Furt, but it's Furt. That one has a medieval market. So that one is a little bit different. So Nuremberg's does not have that. It's just in the main square. It's got like tons. I mean, it's got everything though. They have a little kinder market. So like for the kids, there's a little Ferris wheel, a couple little rides, a carousel, that kind of stuff. Yeah. It's fantastic though. Oh, they have the world's largest Feuchtwangenbowl. I probably said that so wrong. Oh. It's a really long German word and it's a drink. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows Glühwein, but this drink is it has rum in it. If I remember this correctly, it has rum in it, and then they have a sugar cube that they light. They put rum on the sugar cube, and then they light the sugar cube on fire. It's kind of like a platform above the glass of Glühwein,
almost and like absinthe.
And so it drips into it, and it's like it's on fire. So it's like Feuer is fire in German. Mm-hmm. So it's like a fire bowl drink. So they have a huge one with this fire on top that you walk through and you can see it like from the river. It's really cool.
Wow.
It's kind of known for that too by the locals. Like everyone likes that drink. It is very good. Highly recommend.
That's cool. Then that's Christmas market time. Yeah. So
Yeah. That's all the Christmas market.
You hadn't heard of the Barden Treffen Music Festival? I probably butchered that.
I didn't know. I think you did pretty good, actually, based on what I can see.
I mean, that's how it's spelled, right?
My German is nicht so gut, though. Like, really, it's bad. But I have not attended that one, but it is super popular here. And this past year, I was actually going to get my hair cut during the time. And I walked into the city, and I walked through the castle walls, which is a really cool experience, then down the hill. Mm-hmm. And there's a huge church right at the base of the hill. Once you walk down the castle, it's called St. Sebald's. And right outside St. Sebald's was a huge music stage. And I was like, what is going on? Yeah. And like I said, there's always something going on here. And then I realized it was the free music festival. So they have huge like concerts. Like it's like it was a full blown concert going on in the street
and free. Free.
Yeah. And that was just one of many.
Yeah.
And the previous year I had also run into it. I just hadn't realized it was going on. I wasn't paying attention to the newspaper, and there were so many street musicians out. And that was even during like Corona times, two years prior, there was like people would just pull out their guitar and they'd be standing in the street singing, or like people would just randomly get together and they'd be playing. It's so cool. It's just like live music everywhere in all sorts of different types, like from full blown bands to just someone playing their violin. It's really, really cool.
That would be so cool to walk up on, but that happens in like late July, early August. So if anyone is going to be in Germany those times, take a look at that, because that would be cool. like, and I love free.
Yes, free is the best. So and it's incredible what they do. Like, it's like a legit music festival that's going on, and it's completely free.
Yeah,
and you can walk from stage to stage or from act to act, and enjoy it.
I love that. What about the underground beer and art tours that you mentioned?
That has been something I've wanted to do since we moved here, and I've known it's existed. And it's just one of those things we have not gotten to, but I've read so much about it, and I know people that have done it. Mm-hmm. So underground in Nuremberg, there's tunnels that were built, and I believe they were built originally for prisoners. And mm-hmm. so they like even still have like shackles and stuff on the walls in some parts. But then during at some point, I mean, Germany takes their beer very seriously. Mm-hmm. So at some point, and this might still be a law, you have to brew beer in a cellar, something like that, some old law. And so it became like people
Rheinheitsgebot.
Beer down there. What's that?
Rheinheitsgebot. It's the German beer purity laws.
And that's exactly they take it very seriously. So people were brewing beer in the cellars. Mm-hmm. And so you can take a tour and see like these old torture chambers basically, but you can also learn like the history of the the breweries that were down there, and you can even try some of the beer. I believe it's the Rotbier, which is they sell it everywhere here. It's a very mm-hmm. good beer. So it's a red beer. It's a little bit different. And then during World War II, because Nuremberg was so heavily bombed, they put the art down there. And so mm-hmm. like they took out the stained glass windows from the churches and all of the different artwork that was valuable and stored it underground. And people went under there too during air raids to be protected. But so mm-hmm. they were able to preserve all their art during the World War. And so the tunnels have this huge history from when they were created all the way through almost modern times. And now it's, you can take a tour. And I've seen people like even going down into the tunnel. Like I know where the entrance is and I'm like, I want to take it.
I still need to do that.
It's super affordable too. It's not an expensive tour at all. So it'd be a really unique one to do.
Yeah.
When you visit Nuremberg.
That would be cool. That sounds really cool actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you get beer. You get to taste some beer while you're underground. So.
Oh, darn.
I know, right?
That is so cool. What are the Nuremberg sausages you wanted to mention?
Oh, those are my favorite.
Really? So it's a thing. Okay.
Oh, I love Nuremberger sausages. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yep. Oh, those are, those by far are my favorite.
So what's so great about them?
Excellent.
They're just really good? Or are they some? Okay.
So they're about the size, they're about 6 inches long, and they're about the width of one of my fingers. So they're long and skinny little sausages, mm-hmm. but they smoke them. So whereas other sausages, you've got the white sausages that you serve for breakfast are just plain, very boring sausages. You've got bratwurst and wurst and liverwurst mm-hmm. and all these other wursts, but the Nuremberger sausages, they're smoked and they have just this really intense flavor. They're very juicy and they're crispy on the outside. Mm-hmm. Ultimate favorite.
Yeah, they're really, I agree. They're absolutely delicious. Like some sausages just kind of all taste the same after a while to me. Mm-hmm. But the Nuremberger ones have like some sort of the herbs or spices or whatever they use too. It just makes it mm-hmm. so much more flavorful.
Yes.
And you can eat them like just the sausages and, of course, dipped in mustard, of course. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they serve them with sauerkraut or with various different kinds of potato products. But sometimes you can get them in a sandwich, too. So Germany has the most amazing bread. That's a whole culture here, bread mm-hmm. culture. It's like a word, Brot culture. It's a thing. you have to come to Germany and eat the bread. It is amazing. But you get 3 Nuremberger sausages in a roll with some mustard on it. Or without, if you don't want the mustard. And it's so good. It's street food here. So you can just get one from a stand. They sell out everywhere. And you can walk, in Nuremberg anyway. And you can walk around and eat this sandwich. And it is, it's just pure Nuremberg to me. Like the flavor.
But you can get them in like West or Eastern Europe or Eastern Germany and Austria and Czech Republic.
Yeah.
You can get them in that kind of little Danube area. You can find them for breakfast in most of the hotels and things.
Well, I'm thinking I'm going to come to the music festival and then hopefully there'll be like a little, you know, food booth set up.
Oh, there will be. You can't like
some beer and sausage.
I'm like, I don't want Nuremberg sausages. There's nothing else to eat open right now. Like, I have to eat that.
Like, what about pretzels? I feel like I always have to eat pretzels, and if I go to Germany too, right?
You know,
it is Bavaria.
One thing I just learned recently is Nuremberg has like its own type of pretzel. And I didn't realize that until like I lived here a while and I was like, why aren't the pretzels in Munich the same as in Nuremberg? It's still Bavaria. Mm-hmm. They're totally different. Nuremberg has a softer pretzel and it's like its own thing. And Munich's are more like the traditional, a little bit crusty on the outside, soft on the inside. Totally different here in Nuremberg. So I love them. They're so good. Kolb is my favorite like chain place. It's K-O-L-B to get a pretzel. They're so good. And with just the butter ones, they slice them in half and put butter between. Oh, it's the perfect train food when you have a long train ride. Yeah. So good.
Brooke, you're making me hungry.
Yeah. And thirsty too. I'm like a big pretzel person too. So that's like, so I know. God.
Yeah.
Sounds awesome.
I know.
So how far, really how far are you from Munich? Like if you wanted to do like a side trip, how easy is that to do?
Pretty easy. On the high speed train, it's about an hour from Nuremberg.
Oh, okay. Like
train station to train station. And they run constantly, the high speed train. It runs almost every hour. And it can be a little pricey depending on, you can get it for cheap, but it can be pretty pricey if you buy it last minute. But then the regional train takes anywhere from an hour and a half to 3.5 hours, depending on what train you get. Yeah.
Okay.
There's
worth it to pay extra.
Yeah, sometimes when you're like, they ran a special this past summer and the summer before too for regional trains. And so when you ride the trains a lot, it's worth it to just buy that monthly ticket that's on discount. And we ended up on the 3.5 hour train every time we went to Munich, and it was a nightmare because they kept canceling trains. And I have feelings about the Deutsche Bahn.
How hard is it there to rent a car and drive around if you're from the States or
not
anywhere?
Hard at all. Very, very easy. We drive on the same side of the street. So that's, you don't have to worry about that. There's no stop signs really here. And just like, I would recommend watching like maybe some YouTube videos and stuff like that about,
Because
the street signs, cause they are,
you can
different.
Blow through one of those 35 mile an hour zones really easily. And they do actually have cameras.
Yep.
And I know from experience.
Did you get a ticket mailed to you?
Yes, I did.
Souvenir got mailed home.
And the Autobahn has speed limits too, contrary to popular belief. The Autobahn does have speed limits in a lot of places. And even some of the places it has massive construction. So even when you should be able to go fast, you can't.
What's really cool is when traffic gets heavy or there's construction or something, they have speed limit signs that are electronic with LEDs, so they can change the speed limit based on conditions.
Which is smart, because you know, if no one's around and there's nothing going on, why do you have to go 10? You know?
Yeah.
It's very easy. My parents came to visit last summer and they rented a car because they wanted to go all over Bavaria, essentially. Very, very easy to drive in. Easy for parking. It'd be good if you learned like some of the parking rules and that kind of stuff. But in general, it's not difficult at all.
Okay. Anything else we haven't mentioned that we should be sure to bring up?
Not that I can think of. Nuremberg is great. It's a really great city. It's an easy day trip from Munich. Rothenburg's not very far away. So yeah, if you're in Munich and you want to see a little bit more of Bavaria, you can just take the train north.
Awesome.
Well, one little tidbit I would add is that the Munich airport is actually not in Munich.
Yeah.
It's actually about 45 minutes, an hour away from the city of Munich. And just know that going into it, if you're going to fly into Munich and you want to stay in Munich, you need a car or you need to take a train, because you're not actually in the city. It's out in the country.
Yep. And Nuremberg does have an airport. So if you fly in, you can fly into Nuremberg. If you want to see Nuremberg, you can fly into Nuremberg too. It's pretty easy. But yeah, that's always the biggest drag about Munich is, because it's one of our major airports, you know, close by. So you got to take that extra 45 minute train.
Yep.
Is that the one, Donna, that we're getting a RDU's getting a nonstop to Munich? Is that right?
Yes, or no, we are. Okay. Direct flight on Lufthansa starting in June of 2020.
It's not Munich, though. It's Frankfurt, right?
It's going into Frankfurt, yes.
Okay.
But you can easily connect in Frankfurt to Munich.
So,
yeah, or if you fly out of Charlotte, there's a direct flight from Charlotte to to Munich. So, okay.
Nice. Yeah. And Nuremberg is 2.5 hours on the high-speed train from Frankfurt. Very easy, because the train station in Frankfurt is in the airport. So that is super. I love flying into Frankfurt. It's so much easier. Highly recommend. Cool.
It's good to know, especially if you're coming from North Carolina and then it's going to be like a nonstop flight. So, okay. All right. Awesome. Well, that is our show for this week. Thank you for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. And thank you, Brooke, for being here to talk about your adopted city. That was awesome. On behalf of Donna and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.